I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 48 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show. Monday, November 17th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. I got my main man, Chase Brumfield, manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. And oh boy, usually we have Victory Mondays around here, but that is not the case today. Alabama coming off its second loss of the season. It's first in the Southeastern Conference, losing at home, snapping a 17-game home winning streak. Kalen DeBoer's first ever loss inside Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. The Oklahoma Sooners are the culprit again. And, you know, we talk about how Alabama has Georgia's number. Feels like Georgia has Texas's number. Well, Oklahoma certainly has Alabama's number. That is the fourth straight regular season game that the Sooners have won against the Crimson Tide. They did the double back in 2002 and 2003, and now they've done the double here in 2024 and 2025. They also won in the Sugar Bowl following the Pick Six season of 2013, and Alabama did beat them in the Orange Bowl in the College Football Playoff semifinal back in 2018. But outside of that, it's been all Oklahoma lately over the Crimson Tide, and that continued. Very, very disappointing loss. Obviously, no loss is not disappointing, but this one in particular, Alabama 406 total yards, Oklahoma 212. Simpson threw for 326, Mateer threw for 138. Alabama outrushed Oklahoma 80-74. They have a higher average yards per play. They had 23 first downs to 12. They dominated the statistics 75 plays to 51. But the one statistic, or really two statistics that they didn't dominate were turnovers 3-0 in favor of Oklahoma, including a 87-yard pick six. Alabama gave up four sacks, just two for Oklahoma. And in special teams, it was a big advantage in the game to the Oklahoma Sooners. So despite the statistical advantage in terms of offense versus defense, when you dive closer or dive deeper, you see that Oklahoma outplayed Alabama in the areas where most games are decided. It's very disappointing when you consider that the Crimson Tide came in with a plus 10 playoff turnover margin. Oklahoma was minus 5, and we had talked about that being a big advantage for Alabama, and it turned out not to be the case. What bothers me the most, if you're wondering, is simply because of the fact that this season Alabama had navigated after an opening loss at Florida State to be in a position to really, and they still are. I don't want to say the sky is falling, because it's not. Alabama wins these next two games against Eastern Illinois and the Iron Bowl at Jordan-Hare. They're in the College Football Playoff. End of story. Still could possibly make it to Atlanta. In fact, I think, you know, we're going to have to see how this all plays out, but Alabama's still got a very good chance if they win the next two to be in Atlanta for the SEC championship game. Still, after having navigated through that five-game stretch, five SEC games in 5 weeks, four against ranked opponents, survived at South Carolina in a game that they probably should have lost, and then came home and played LSU after a bye and was a little bit sluggish, did not play great in the game offensively, but won the game 20-9. I kind of felt like everything was pointed toward a major effort and really good game against Oklahoma. I said that last week. I thought this team would be primed to play really well, and they didn't. It was the most mistake-prone game that Alabama has played all season, and that's what beat them. And give Oklahoma credit, and I'm going to, and Brent Venable said as much after the game. You know, you say, hey, you know, what if this hadn't happened? But it did happen. And they did force those turnovers. They forced them and could have forced more. And their defense for the second straight year dialed up the plan to make plays against Alabama, and they did. Back-to-back years with a pick six. Back-to-back years forcing multiple turnovers. So obviously, Brent Venables, as a defensive head coach, has the number of Kalen DeBoer as an offensive head coach. You can argue that if you want, but after two head-to-head meetings, those are the facts. And to be in your 10th game of the season, to have rattled off 8 straight wins, and then to come out and have an effort like that, well, not I don't mean physically a lack of an effort. They played hard. That's not what I mean. I mean to not be able to play clean football and not be able to execute the way you need to execute in a big game at this point in the season at home is very disappointing. Very disappointing. When you consider they won at Georgia, when you consider they won at Missouri, back when Missouri was really playing well, when you consider they beat Tennessee, when you consider they beat Vanderbilt, and then you have this game lined up the way it's lined up, and you lose at home. Ty Simpson, as I said, put up tremendous numbers. 28 of 42, 326, a touchdown, but the butt, pick six, which what you could argue almost was a 14-point swing. Alabama, I think, was on its way possibly to a touchdown there. If at worst, a field goal, at least a field goal attempt, but you give up 7 the other way, 87 yards worth, and on a terrible decision by him and a bad throw. 4 sacks. A fumble lost, again, the 5th straight game. Missing some throws that could have changed the game. So, yes, he had a good statistical game, but he did not play winning football, in my opinion. He did not play winning football at that position. Now, I don't break down the film. I've told you that. I'm not a coach. I'm not going to sit here and give you a statistical analysis. We'll let Kristen Miller and others do that have more experience at it than me. But in my opinion, he did not play winning football at the position. Now, I have seen others on the internet board say, well, that's because they don't have a run game and there's so much pressure on him to make plays. And I'll give you that to some extent. Having said that, they had a better running game. The total yardage running wasn't great, but Daniel Hill went for 15 carries for 60 yards and 2 touchdowns. One of the better efforts they've had in a while. And this is a quarterback-centric offense. It's built around the quarterback. So you can't praise Ty Simpson and give him all the glory and then say in a game where he made crucial mistakes in the game, you can't just gloss over that and say, well, that's okay because he's got a lot of pressure on it. The quarterback in this offense is always going to have a lot of pressure. You think Jalen Milroe didn't have pressure on him last year? And he didn't play well at Oklahoma, played a terrible game, and he got ripped across the coals for it. So, special teams-wise, poor effort in terms of execution. Very poor game on special teams. Ryan Williams, a fumble after a 3-and-out defensively, fumbles a punt deep in Alabama territory. And I don't know what they were doing. I've never seen this before. I've seen 2 guys back on punts before. Norho's I don't know. The special teams coach would have to be asked why you have one player back and then another guy behind him in punt return. Jay Nunez, the special teams coach, would have to be asked about that because I've never seen that before. Usually when you have 2 guys back to return a punt, they're split. So, but anyway, Ryan Williams fumbled a punt. They missed the field goal right before half. That turned out to be huge in the game. High snap, got it down, kicker, then got the ball, got a hand on it by an Oklahoma defender who leaped up over the snapper. They said it was legal because he didn't get a running start. but the kicking game was a major difference in the game. So all of the little things that win football games, Alabama didn't do them, but Oklahoma did. Now, defensively, Alabama played well. Oklahoma's longest drive was 41 yards in the game. That was the longest drive they had in the game. So when you look at that many short fields plus an 87-yard pick six, the defense gave the offense every opportunity. And then another thing at the end of the game, and Coach DeVore covered it in the postgame press conference, but they just acted like when they got the ball back with 6 minutes and something to go at their six-yard line that they had all day, and that, you know, there was no thought process that, you know, if they had to punt, they would save some time on the clock to try to get the ball back. It just seemed like they were going to put it all in on that game, on that drive. And they got it out to around midfield. Give them credit for that. But on a fourth and four, even if Ryan Williams catches that ball, he's going to be short of the sticks. I didn't like the route combination there. So Alabama takes the loss. Okay, it's 9:17. We got phone calls. So let's go ahead and let me run down the business, and we'll take a break, and we'll come back with phone calls. This hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It's just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership and join today and feel good about your money. Ample extra change in your pocket. Our lineup today, Rodney Orr, Connor Insider coming up at the bottom of the hour. Casey Smith on golf at 10:30. And if we have time, we will get to the Kalen DeBoer press conference. I hope we do. We got phone calls on the other side of this break, though, with Pat and Tom. Keep it dialed into the Gary Harris Show. Only a second time.
Sweet Trolley Candy. It's a flavor collision you've got to try. But hurry, it's only here for a limited time. Mountain Dew Trolley. Do the dew, do the worm.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
Optimized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com, and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
Quick Connect technology that makes it easy to set up your new tree in a few clicks.
Wow.
Hurry in for Black Friday, happening now at the Home Depot.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. All is certainly not lost. And Alabama fans are disappointed right now, and rightfully so. But everything's still in front of them. If they beat Eastern Illinois, which they certainly should, and then can navigate Jordan-Hare a week from this coming Saturday in the Iron Bowl to get to 10-2 and 7-1 in the league, they're going to be in the college football playoff, possibly in Atlanta for the SEC championship game. But having lost on Saturday, certainly the margin for error is much smaller now, and that game at Jordan-Hare is more than likely a must-win for Alabama to get into the playoff. I can't imagine if they lose that one, lose two of their last three, and go to 9-3, that they're going to get into the college football playoffs. Just my thoughts. All right, phone calls. Let's start out with Pat. Hey, Pat. Pat, I'm having a you're not coming through very clean. Put Pat on hold, Chase, and let's see if we can get the signal a little clearer. And let's go ahead and take Tom, because I'm having. Don't hang up on Pat, but let's see if we can come back to him. I'm having a hard time hearing him. He's breaking up pretty bad on my end. Let's get to Tom, and we'll go back to Pat. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you? I thought your opening statement was spot on. I agree with them. And I want to bring up a couple of things, if you don't mind. And the first one is a comment following a loss. Coach Saban said, and I quote, "You play like crap, you can expect to be criticized," end quote. And the second one is the quarterback gets too much blame and too much praise. And the reason for that, everybody listen up, he touches the ball every play on offense. So he is scrutinized, and rightfully so. Our quarterback, Ty Simpson, was a major contributor of us losing the game Saturday. His decision-making was off. His passes were off. He held the ball too long at times. I thought the game plan on offense was good, and it was enough to beat Oklahoma. The defense played, I thought, lights out. I was so proud to see the way they played the run. Oklahoma had some good running backs. They shut them down. I thought it was good, but I'm going to have to lay this one at Ty's feet. I think he cost us a game.
Well, I listened to everything that you said. I agree with a lot of it. I don't want to I agree with all your analogy. I don't want to say that he single-handedly lost the game, because I don't think that one player ever does that. But as you said, and I had said prior to you coming on, he certainly did not play winning football, in my opinion, and you seem to agree.
Exactly.
In the sense that statistically, he had a good game, but he did not make the plays there that had to be made, and the turnovers were – his two turnovers were major in the game. And he took sacks, and he did not play to the level that he needed to play at to help Alabama win that football game. Now, having said that, he did a lot of good things, and he's had a great year. But in that particular game, he didn't play his best, but he wasn't the only one. And special teams was a major issue in that game, Tom. Major issue. I don't, like I said, I don't track it like a coach does. But I guarantee you, if you took a college coach and they tracked that game, they would probably say that Alabama lost at a minimum of 10 points on special teams, probably, if not more. So very, very disappointing in offensively and in special teams on Saturday.
See you, Gary.
Thank you, Tom. All right, let's keep it rolling with our phone calls here. We got Rodney Orr coming up in the next segment. Pat, we're sorry that you dropped. There was something wrong with the signal on your end. Let's get to Philip, and then we'll get to Cam. Hey, Philip.
Hey, Gary. I watched you on an interview you did in the bowels of the stadium the other night, and you asked Ty Simpson and Ty Simpson a question, and I was just wondering, since you got access to all that, what I know the mood was terrible. I know it had to be terrible, but in your visit down there, were you able to see players coming in and out of the locker room and just sort of see where they
– Well, after we did the media room interviews, yes. When I go back out to go around to the television station, that's where the players come out at, and I saw a number of them. And listen, they were down. But I will say this for Alabama's players. Many of them do hang around after the game to give autographs and to take pictures, and I saw several of them visiting with friends and their family, which I think is perfectly okay. And I, you know, there wasn't like they were celebrating or anything like that, but they were trying to be friendly and interact with people, which I think is a good thing. But yeah, they were down. There was severe disappointment in the outcome of the game. So yeah, I can assure you of that.
Yeah. Talk about the defense, and I agree with Tom and just about everybody when they talk about the good game the defense played, and I agree. But the thing that really, you know, was really the down moment on the defense was when Ryan fumbled that football after the punt got knocked out of his hands. You know, they had about a 12-yard return, and they took it over, I think, on about the 31 or so. But, you know, Mateo just rambled in on that second play and scored pretty easy. I was really hoping for more right there. You're asking for a lot. You're giving them a short field. You've screwed up. But Alabama, even after that, though, they bounced back the next possession and scored.
Yeah, they did, and I know the possession you're talking about after the fumble punt, and you're right. Mateer just ran a quarterback run and busted through and broke a couple tackles, went in the end zone, and that was disappointing. But I will say overall, Phillip, with as many bad situations as the defense was put in on Saturday, I think they did okay. You're right. That particular drive, you would have preferred that they had bowed up and forced the field goal. But they were putting on – and you got to remember, too, that was a really quick change because – the defense had just gotten a three and out, an easy three and out. And like you said, was going to have pretty good field position out at the plus 30, you know, above the 30-yard line. And Ryan Williams just didn't secure the football. There's no other way around it. He did not secure the football. And the one thing about being a punt returner, and you and I and others have on this show, we've talked about this before, the first job of a punt returner is to catch the football and secure the ball. Yes, you want to see him get yards. You'd love to see him catch the punt and take it back 75 or 80. But the first thing a punt returner, as Coach Bryant would call him, a punt catcher, is supposed to do is catch the ball and secure the football. He didn't do that, and it was costly.
Yeah.
And, again, I have no idea what that – I mean, you'd have to ask the special teams coach, Jay Nunez. I've never seen that, where you put one guy up, Cole Adams 10 yards ahead of Ryan Williams, and later they flipped him. And I don't know what that was, unless they thought they were going to short punt it. I don't know. But anyway, that was a big play in the game because you had just gotten a three and out. You were going to have the football. The offense moved the football, so there's no reason to believe they wouldn't move it again. And then Ryan Williams fumbles the football back. And and it's just too much to overcome. You have an 87-yard pick six. You have a fumble deep in your territory. You have a punt return fumble in your territory. You miss a chip shot field goal. You just couldn't overcome it. And they almost did. They almost did. But it was too much. Well, hey, thank you, Phil. We got to move on real quick, Cam. We got about a minute, man. We're a little bit behind. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. Loving North Georgia today. You know, I'm Bulldog Nation. Hey, man. Gus Miles and Venerables, dude. That's our kryptonite. Gus Miles on and Brett Venerables ever since Clemson.
Seems to be. You're right. Seems to be. Those two guys give Alabama trouble.
What's your opinion of officiating in college football right now?
Oh, I think it's, for me, and you're probably going to disagree, I think it's better than it's given credit for. I don't think it's as bad as, I'm not saying it's great, and I'm not saying they aren't missed calls.
I'm trying to explain to the wife when they review a play and when they don't, and when they should review a play, and the coach takes the time out so they can, if you really want to look at the play, just one more, and then they don't. Do you think we'll ever get a challenge flag like the NFL?
I think they're looking at a lot of things. The one thing I'm concerned about, though, is you want to get it right, but the stoppages in play are getting to be, major factor in the games and momentum and throwing things down. Listen, all I can tell you is, Cam, and I know you know this, it's a hard job. It's a thankless job.
Sure.
I mean, an official can get
job, right?
Officiating can have they can have a great game. And then, in 4 minutes during the fourth quarter, miss a call, and that's what everybody's going to talk about. So, but I know they're trying to work to get it better. I do. Hey, Cam, got to run.
Hi, Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Time for Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, TiderInsider TV, also a part of Inside the Trenches. The podcast comes up again tonight at 7 o'clock with Wallace Gilberry, Andre Smith, and Rodney Orr, hosted by yours truly. So we look forward to that at 7 o'clock. But a lot to talk about this morning, Rod, and I've already broken down all the statistics this morning. And certainly Alabama did a lot of good things in the game. And statistically, if you looked at the numbers, you would have said Alabama should have won the football game. But if you look deeper at 3 turnovers to none, if you look at the discrepancy in special teams, the missed field goal, the fumble punt, and obviously those 3 turnovers, 2 of them were fumbles in deep in Alabama territory. The other was an 87-yard pick six. It just was too much to overcome. So in a big football game with two good teams, Ronnie, this was a case, once again, where it came down to the team that made the least mistakes, and that was Oklahoma. And they won the football game, and it's a very, very disappointing. Which I like Victory Mondays a lot better, Rod, and I know you do too. But this particular Monday, we're having to talk about a loss, the first one since the first game of the season. Snaps a 8-game winning streak, a 17-game home winning streak, and you got to move on quickly, but at the same time, disappointment this past Saturday. What did you see?
Well, you know, you try to take the emotion out of it, I think, when you look at these things. I mean, obviously, the thing that does stand out is the turnovers. But, you know, Gary, I've been thinking about it a little bit. And there were times in the game when Alabama had the ball knocked loose, multiple times, when Alabama let go of the football after being hit. And they came back up with the ball. But here's my point on that. I just don't think that now defensively, let me be clear. I thought Kane Womack did a fantastic job. They've done a fantastic job on that side of the ball. They've gotten a lot better and better as the season's gone along. But when I look at the special teams, for example, or offensively, you know, I just don't think that Alabama was ready, prepared, but they did not have that mental and physical edge. And Oklahoma had it. And I think we saw that with the way they knocked the ball loose several times. You know, Oklahoma was just playing with an aggressive mental and physical edge that I think Alabama lacked in the game. And I say Alabama again, I'm kind of excluding the defense here because I got to give them credit. If not for the defense, you know, playing as well as they have, it could be, you know, maybe things could be worse, but again, I just think it's that edge that they've missed in this last few weeks. And, you know, maybe that goes back to the physical part of it. Gary not having a run game. I think they tried to create that in this game. I think Daniel Hill did some nice things. But, you know, overall, I think that the Alabama's mistakes and the mental and physical edge that Oklahoma played with were the difference.
I think that may be the best summation I've heard yet since the game, Rodney. I think that what you just said, I think sums it up, that Oklahoma played with an aggressiveness, an intensity, a tenacity that Alabama didn't match. I think that is an excellent analysis of that game. And there were mistakes on both sides, but the mistakes that Oklahoma made, they made less, and they made them with, like you said, an aggressiveness and an intensity. And that was what, I guess, now that you've said that, it really makes it even more disappointing that Alabama's at home. I think they've kind of been pointing toward this game, even though Oklahoma's coming off a bye. And they did not match that tenacity, Rod. And even with the mistakes, Alabama had a chance to win that football game. But you said it. Oklahoma was the more aggressive team. They were the more, I think, more physical team. And they played like a hungrier football team in the game.
Well, and we pointed it out several times last week on Tighter Insider TV, et cetera, that they came into the game the way you looked at it. And someone asked me last night, said, why were you so confident going into this game? And I said, well, it kind of played out in front of us. Alabama was clearly, to me, the better team out there in terms of if you just clean things up, you play clean football, you're probably going to win that game by at least 10 points, probably 14 or more. I mean, but they didn't play that way. But the point was that Alabama comes in plus 10 in turnover margin and Oklahoma minus 5. And Oklahoma completely flipped that script in this game. They won the turnover margin 3-0. And that was 17 points that they came up with. So that was the difference in the game. And that's why I say they were knocking the ball loose. They were stripping the ball. And they played physical. So like you said, I mean, I think it when you look at it, it's an edge that you play with. And I think Kalen DeBoer, Gary, frankly, when he comes out of the tunnel swinging at the goalpost. It's kind of the edge you're trying to create, you know, and I think it probably that's a sign of that, trying to get that edge as you're going into the game. And, you know, just didn't play with it, in my opinion.
All right, so I want to ask you about Ty Simpson. And one of our listeners, Tom, called in this morning and said the obvious, you know, the quarterback is always the focal point. He touches the ball on every snap, for the most part. Every now and then he may not touch it. It could be a direct snap or something like that. And gets most of the credit when things go well and has to be ready to shoulder some of the blame. And I think in this case, Ty had a good statistical game if you took away the mistakes. I mean, you know, he threw for 326 yards in the game. He had a touchdown. I mean, he did a lot of good things, but he did have a pick six, 87 yards. You know, not only does he give up the interception, it goes all the way back, but Alabama was in scoring position. So that's a, you know, 10 point potential, possibly 14 point swing. The turnover that he had in deep in his territory, he took a couple of other sacks, including one on that last drive that was very, very costly. So I would say that he did a lot of good things and he had good statistics. I don't think he played winning football in the game. And I think that I've heard a lot of what I would call excuses. Well, they don't have a running game, although they ran it better. There's a lot of pressure on him. I get all that. But that's the way this offense is set up. It's set up for the quarterback to have an opportunity to win the game. And I just didn't think, while he did a lot of good things and put up good numbers, that I didn't think he played winning football on Saturday. And I wonder, you know, if you agree or disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Gary, he could have thrown for 200 yards and not made those mistakes, and Alabama wins the game. Nobody's talking about the statistics then. So, you know, again, there's multiple mistakes on the interception. You know, if you really break it down, I mean, the pass protection broke down and picking up the blitz, and Oklahoma did a fantastic job there. Venables did a great job on that the blitz call. But, you know, that's one time when I say, okay, either Ty, if you've got time to get rid of it and throw it out of bounds or do something with it, get rid of it in a safe way, do it. But, you know, I would just assume there, and I know you never want to take sacks, but you'd rather take a sack than a pick six there. I mean, you know, he threw it off his back foot. He rushed the throw. Oklahoma bumped the receiver off his route a little bit. You know, so maybe the receiver could, Isaiah Horton, I think it was, could have been a little bit more physical there and got to his spot. But at the same time, I thought Ty, you know, kind of rushed the throw off his back foot and put it in harm's way. And so that was a, you know, ultimately, like you said, the quarterback is put in position here to make the plays, whether you've got a run game or whatever, when he's got opportunities to make those throws or to make throws or to avoid these mistakes, he has to avoid them. But there were some opportunities that he had in the past game that he missed some guys. And I know, look, it's not easy. You know, the quarterback's under a lot of pressure, a lot of, shouldering, you get shoulder the load. But if you want to play quarterback in this system, that's what you have to expect. I mean, you're going to be expected to make plays, to make reads, to get the ball in the right spot accurately on a consistent basis. So, yes, there is a lot on the quarterback's shoulders in this offense. And I don't know. Some people seemed surprised at that yesterday when we were discussing on TiderInsider.com. I don't really know why, but that's the way it is in this offense.
Special teams was another area where Alabama got outplayed. And we talk about all the mistakes, even in special teams, if you clean that up, you probably win the game. You have a fumble, Ryan Williams fumbles, and you know, deep in your own territory. That's the Matier's touchdown run. He missed a relatively short field goal at the end of the half. Yes, there was a high snap, but the snap got down. Their guy made a great play, and I guess I thought that was illegal, but I'm told now that if you don't get a running start, you are allowed to jump over the snapper, and he got a hand on that. They gave up some return yardage. I want to ask you, because I had never seen it before, and I know, again, I'm not a coach, and that's one thing I try not to claim to know this stuff from a coach's standpoint. But I've never seen a team put two deep safeties back for kickoffs and not split them. You had one guy standing about 10 yards in front of the other guy, Ryan Williams and Cole Adams. I don't know what that design was, but to me it didn't work. I will tell you that. So you got to, you know, in big games against good teams, special teams is huge, and Oklahoma clearly had a special teams edge. With all the mistakes Alabama had on offense, you clean up special teams and you probably win that game. It was a 2-point game. And, you know, your thoughts on the special teams issues in that game?
No, I think you laid it out well. And you know, again, you do wonder why they did stack the punt return guys like that. But at the same time, and then, you know, I was kind of talked to someone afterwards about what was that about. And actually, we probably should give Alabama credit for studying the film on that, because the Oklahoma punter, the style that they use, and sometimes he intentionally kicks it short, and then sometimes he booms it. And actually, I remembered, he did exactly do that. And so that was kind of, you know, again, it was something different, but it's something they picked up on film. So, you know, maybe that was a positive thing there. But, and again, special teams to really hurt them. This is the second time that snap has been a little high. And, you know, the thing is with Talty, we've seen kickers. I mean, we've seen high snaps. And again, does it throw off the execution of it or the operation of it? Yes, it can. But I think Talty, and again, I'm just picking this up, Gary, by looking at him and watching him in this, you know, you got to be able to adjust as a kicker. And again, I know it's not something that's easy, but, you know, you can't let a bad snap. You've got to be able to adjust and follow through with your kick. And, you know, that just kind of seems to me that Talty allowed that both times to throw him off a little bit. So it's not the snapper. Yes, they do need to get that improved. Hey, but let me say too, Gary, you know, going back to Ty Simpson a little bit and on the we didn't talk about the strip. You talked about the field goal being blocked or partially blocked by number 44. And I don't know his name. I didn't even look at his name for Oklahoma. But he did a fantastic job jumping over that line of scrimmage like he did. What an incredible athletic play. But he's the same guy that created the strip sack, too, you know, that got the open hit on Ty. And it's tough. I think Ty was looking to his left and never saw him. But this is, I think, the fifth game in a row that he's coughed the ball up in that situation where he's been hit in the pocket. You've got to, you know, and I had someone tell me before the game that played quarterback on this level for a long time, and went on to the next level. He said, listen, he said, this was before the game. He said, the one thing that Ty's going to really have to do in this game is protect the ball in the pocket because of the way Oklahoma sends their rushers. And they're really aggressive going after the ball. And guess what? That turned out to be the difference in the game because they kicked the winning field goal, you know, on that after that mistake.
Yeah, Taylor Wine was the guy who, you know, made the two plays that you're talking about.
Staying with Ty, great difference maker plays. Think about it, Gary. Difference maker plays right there. You block a field goal or you partially block it. And then, you know, you make that play there. So that guy was the difference in the game for Oklahoma.
Ty said after the game, and so did Coach DeBoer, hey, you know, I've got to live to play another day. You know, I got to throw the ball away. Coach DeBoer said, you know, punting is not a bad thing. But my response is, well, how many reminders do you need? As you just said, this is five straight games where you've lost a fumble. And you continue to say that, you don't need to do that. But, I mean, at some point, it just either as I've been told by former players, either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. And at what point does it stop? I mean, we keep hearing the same old thing. You can't do that. Can't hold on the ball. Got to be smarter with the ball. But yet it just keeps happening. And five straight games is too much. You know, two games, three games. At some point, it can't be lip service. So either they're coaching it or they're allowing it to happen. And it needs to stop because we got a big game in, you know, 12 days where that defense is going to get after the quarterback too, Rodney. So I think that you can't do anything about what has happened in the past, but, you know, it's up to Ty now and that coaching staff to eliminate those miscues because they're really hurting.
You know, I think the thing with Ty, Gary, going back, and he's done some fantastic things. He's got great ability. He can make all the throws. That's the thing. And you're going to miss some throws. But he can make all the throws that he's missed. He's extremely capable. The one thing that we talked about, Ty, all along, was how do you handle adversity? You know, how do you respond to adversity? And we said that in the preseason. That was the one thing that you just couldn't predict. And you know, I knew that talking to some players and different ones that Ty struggled with that a little bit. And I think he's done a really good job in terms of maturing over the last year or so, and especially this season. But I still sense that Ty allows a mistake to linger with him. And, you know, you just can't do that on this level as a quarterback. And, I want to be careful because I don't want to question someone's mental toughness. And that's not really what I'm doing. But at the same time, I think that, you know, for Ty to be as good and productive as he can be, he's got to somehow not allow these mistakes. He's got to let them go. You want to win championships and those types of things. I think that's something where Ty has got to, you know, give himself a break a little bit, you know. You can't carry it on to the next play. You've got to just move on.
And that's what you have to do. So before we close out the segment, that's what I want to ask you about. Obviously, the expectation is that you'll beat Eastern Illinois, okay? That leaves now the Iron Bowl at Jordan-Hare. On paper, Alabama's clearly a better football team. I mean, Alabama's 6-1 in the SEC. Auburn's 1-6. Those are the numbers. That's a fact. But we know that they have played probably better than their record indicates, and we know they're going to have their A-plus effort ready to go. And I think essentially Alabama's probably playing for a spot in the college football playoff. Now we'll have a deeper dive next week, but just your 12 days out thoughts on that Iron Bowl game.
Yeah. First of all, you're going down there for Kalen DeBoer's first time. That's a different experience down there. It really is. And you know what? Poorly as their season has gone in terms of their record. Now, they played a lot of close games. They could have won a lot of those games, just like last season. But they have a lot of excitement right now. I mean, there's a lot of excitement about, you know, with Durkin stepped in and that they've made a change and they're moving forward and they think they played a lot better, even though defensively they gave up a ton of points against Vanderbilt. There's some reason they have a lot of excitement down there, and I think that they feel like now that they can win this game, Auburn. So they're going to be at a high-level pitch. There's no doubt about that. This is, and you know this, Gary, they win this game, they forget everything else because this is everything to Auburn, and I get it. And Alabama's in a real pressure-packed situation. So it's going to be interesting to see how Alabama plays when they go down there. Are they going to be uptight? We've seen a lot of Alabama teams go down there and play uptight when they were a much better team. That's going to be a real key to me. How does Alabama play? Because this is a pressure-packed situation. You're number four in the country. You're on the verge of going to the playoffs. You just have to finish it off. And they didn't do that against Oklahoma. Now they've put themselves in a really, really tough spot. I'm not ready to make a prediction on that game. But I would say this, Alabama's they're in a tough spot. They're in a very pressure packed situation. And they lose that one, and 2 years in a row, you're 9-3, and you miss the playoffs. It gets tough.
I don't even want to think about it. I really don't. Great analysis as always, Rodney, and I know the board has been incredibly busy, and you have been out there interacting with the members and also writing some great analysis. Let everybody know how they can become a member of Potter Insider.
Right. Just go to TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year. You can sign up there. You'll find the link on the gray navigation bar on the left-hand side. And, again, it's only $48 a year.
Thanks a lot, Rod. We'll be back to wrap up the first hour of the Gary Harris Show right after this.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events.
To start your language learning adventure, this offer ends November 20th. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less for a limited time at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:59. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the Gary Harris Show. Our thanks to Rodney Orr for an outstanding interview. And that'll be available at anywhere you get your podcast here shortly. So terrific information there. We got more great information coming up in the second hour. Casey Smith on golf at 10:30. Plus, we'll try to get to Kalen DeBoer. Post-game press conference from Saturday night. More of your phone calls on a Monday. And it's not a victory Monday, which is disappointing. But it will roll on. Hour number two, the Gary Harris Show, is on the way.
CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
He got his first snaps on Sunday, and now he may be in line for his first start next week. Shedeur Sanders, quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, could be in line for a start pending the health of the other Browns quarterback, Dylan Gabriel. NFL expected to hand down a ruling on Monday involving the incident between Bengals receiver Ja'Marr Chase and Steelers cornerback Jalen Ramsey. Ramsey was ejected from the game for punching Chase, but referees apparently missed that Chase had spat on Ramsey before the incident. Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers still being evaluated following a fracture in his left wrist. Test he's undergoing. We'll see if he is possibly going to injure himself further and if he can grip a football. He's not yet been ruled out from Sunday's game.
You have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine, ask your doctor about Tremfya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremfya.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa. The sky partly to mostly sunny today, the high 71. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. Very mild tomorrow and Wednesday. A good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 76 and 79 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Wow, that first hour just absolutely flew by. And, my gosh, we're already into hour number two of the Gary Harris Show. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield. And we got a lot to cover in this hour as well. Of course, the first hour, nothing but Alabama football, a heavy dose of it. As I've often said, as long as I've been in Tuscaloosa, we talk a lot of Alabama football after a win. You talk even more after a loss because that's when people are more apt to call and want to share their frustrations. And the phone calls are lined up here in the second hour as well. So we will not, we won't worry with anything else. We're just going to jump on into the phone calls, and we're going to lead off with Jared in Dallas. Then Pat is back on the line. He dropped earlier. and then we'll get to Corey in Trustful. Hey, Jared, how are you?
I'm good, Gary. I mean, of course, we're all stinging a little bit today, but I just got a couple golf analogies I want to throw out there for everybody. You know,
okay.
Golf is my history. But, you know, when Rory McIlroy struggled down the stretch in the final round of the Masters and ended up in the playoff, and they were walking off the green, his caddy looked at him and said, hey, on Monday, if they had said, you don't have to play, but you get to be in a playoff to win it on Sunday afternoon, would you have taken that? And Rory's like, of course. And that's kind of where we are. I mean, honestly, for me, if someone would have said, hey, you're going to have two losses at this point in the year, and then you got to beat Auburn, and you're in the playoffs. At the beginning of the year, with all the unknowns we had, not knowing exactly what tie was going to be, not knowing a lot of things, and not having a lot of depth, I think if everyone's honest with themselves, a lot of us would have taken that immediately. So that's where we are, you know. And they just gotta bow up and just get it done. And tie, another golf analogy, someone's just got to sit down with the young man and say, you just let it rip. It looks like somebody trying to hit a golf ball straight. That's what he looked like to me Saturday on a lot of those throws. Just trying, not just swinging, not just letting
right.
it go. The overthrow on Bernard, if you look at that replay, Gary, that is the most awkward motion I've ever seen him make. It was like just, oh, please, God, go straight, you know? And
right.
He overthrew him by 4 feet. And, hey, we all get there, and they got a couple weeks to get it together, but that's just a couple comments I wanted to make. Cause I know.
Well, I think the golf analogy is outstanding, and I think you're right. You know, going into the tournament, Rory would have taken an opportunity to be in the playoff. Now, what you didn't say is that he won the playoff. You know, that's the key. And so I agree with you, but now Alabama's got to win the Iron Bowl. So that analogy is right on, but if you go down there and lose, then it is going to be a very disappointing season. So you're right. You're right there, but you have to finish the drill, Jared, and that's going to be the challenge. I mean, you're going to go down there into a hornet's nest. I give the Auburn people credit. They've rallied around their team, which, you know, is not a good football team. You can do all the woodest, goodest, and fittest that you want. They're 1-6 in the SEC. Alabama's 6-1. So Alabama should win the game. So you're right. The playoff now is on the line, and Alabama's got to finish it. And if they don't finish it, then, you know, just like Rory, if he had not won that playoff over Justin Rose, it would have been heartbreak for him. It would have been absolute heartbreak. And that's going to be the case for Alabama. If they lose a week from Saturday at Jordan-Hare, this is going to be a very heartbreaking season because you're right. You were right there on the cusp. You were right there on the edge. So now the key is to finish the drill. But otherwise, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, you got to look forward. They got to look forward. It's just part of sports, man. And you know what? I mean, they got to come with a fortitude to do this because most likely, I mean, they're looking at a scenario where they could be in a hostile environment for the first playoff game on the road. They're staring that right. They're staring down that as well. So, anyways, you know what? I mean, they made a bunch of mistakes Saturday. One less mistake and we win that game. Not
that's right.
Mistakes.
That's right.
One.
Yep.
One.
Yep. That's right. I mean, they had a lot of opportunities to overcome and still win that game, even with all the mistakes they made. And if you want to be half full guy, you're right. You can say, look at all the mistakes Alabama made, and they still came within a play of winning the game. So you're right. Alabama's got a good football team. They've got a good football team, and just win the next two, and then take it from there. It's a tournament once you get there. So hey, great call, Jared. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. All right, Gary. Take care.
Yeah, hit him straight. All right, let's get to Pat. Pat was on with us in the first hour and dropped off. Hey, Pat, you back? Let me see if I can hear you loud and clear now. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm terribly sorry for that. I was up around Brookwood and just lost you.
You're back now, though. I hear you loud and clear. What's going on, Pat?
What I called about was I have a slightly different take than what you started off your monologue when you first started. The interception was definitely a pass interference call. The same that they ref called it in the second time that it happened down by the goal line. The D-back had hit our receiver while the ball was in the air. It was definitely pass interference that was missed. Yeah, Ty probably should have thrown, I don't know if Ty could have seen it to throw the ball away or not. I don't know. All I know is that that was pass interference, and that interception technically was not necessarily Ty's fault, but the wide receiver didn't run the route, or there was a miscommunication. They didn't run the route the way that Ty thought it was going to be run. The next thing was on Terrell, and I like to blame the guy that Hawks Tacos. One of the two of them was the reason they hit. Now, Ty probably should be, as bad as our offensive line is, he may need to work on holding the ball with two hands when he's trying to pass it. I mean, some quarterbacks go back and are able to hold the ball with two hands versus one hand. I don't know if he had two hands on it, but the guy hit him on his blind side coming from the right. He was looking to the left and got hit and fumbled the ball. And then Cotton Picking, not having Cole Adams, Mr. Reliable, back to receive that punt, I don't know what the crap happened and what kind of brain fart that was from our coaching staff. But Cole Adams has been collecting those balls and ain't dropped one yet. Why did we change that?
Yeah, it's like Rodney said. I think they had picked up on something on the special teams film, Pat, that this punter had the ability to kick it short or kick it long, and they wanted to have a guy in position to field it either way. But I'm with you on Cole Adams. He's been very dependable back there. And, Ryan Williams fumbled the football, and it was a costly fumble. So, but like we're discussing, hopefully, with two games to go, they can put two games together and get in that playoff and have a chance to win a national championship. But Saturday was a disappointing loss. There's no way around it.
If we beat Auburn, all is forgiven. We've got to beat this other team, little team here too, and we got to play them all. Anything can happen. The worst thing though about this game that we got coming up is that somebody getting hurt. These are the kind of games that I worry to death. I mean, I'm a worrier. You hear me?
Yeah, you are. I've noticed that about you. But you know what? It's football. I know what you're saying, and hopefully they won't have any injuries against Eastern Illinois. But you need to prepare for Eastern Illinois. You need to give them respect, and you need to go out there and play well and get that game over with and get some people out there in the second half, give them a chance to play and honor your seniors, and then get ready for Jordan Hare. So that's what it comes down to. Hey, thank you, Pat.
Yes, sir. Hey, appreciate you, my buddy. Have a blessed day. And everybody go down to Anders Free and get one of them hamburgers. I had one with no bun on it Friday.
You're right, man. You're right. Hey, absolutely. Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and get to our break, okay, so we can stay on time. We'll come back. I'm going to read some app messages. We're going to get to Corey and Trustful. Other phone calls are welcome at 205-342-9904. It is a gorgeous day in Tuscaloosa. My Lord, Jace, what are we doing? I mean, the weather is just phenomenal, man. It's shorts and t-shirts weather in mid-November. So enjoy this great weather. It's supposed to be here all week. And we'll be back with more of the Gary Harris Show right here on 100.9 FM at 1230 AM WTBC, your home for University of Alabama sports.
Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. The Bessemer City Council is scheduled to vote on a rezoning for that massive data center in McCalla tomorrow night. Environmentalist Charlie Reichen says the size of the project is troubling.
This data center would cover 700 acres, have 18 buildings over 250,000 square feet, a couple football fields each.
Reichen says ecosystems will be destroyed. The Beat Auburn Beat Hunger Food Drive ends Thursday in Bama football, now 10th in the AP poll. I'm Don Hartley.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
Media personality, filmmaker, and author.
She'll share her pearls of hope for thriving in life and leadership. Secure your spot today at WestAlabamaChamber.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after...
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today, the high 71. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. Very mild tomorrow and Wednesday. Good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 76 and 79 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Some app messages that I want to read. One from Pop and Lynette today. Gary, I agree with everything you've said. Bama better get it right before their next two games if they're going to make the playoffs. And then there's some that came in last week. You know, I was at Innisfree and different venues. But LJSM from Malville commented on our music segment, Orleans Dance With Me. He and Larry are taking me back to my high school and college days. And I had no idea that David Sanborn played with Pure Prairie League because he's one of my absolute favorites. When I was talking about my point spread picks last week, I initially made a mistake and said Alabama did not cover against LSU. They did. Matthew in Tuscaloosa pointed that out, and that was a win for me. I was 5-0 last week in my picks. And earlier in the week, King Thor from Otagaville had said Alabama needs a blackout jersey with crimson numbers and letters with black helmets. And, of course, most Alabama fans would be against that. But who knows? If they might have been for it for the Oklahoma game. So just some app messages that I wanted to read that had come in. All right, right now, let's jump back out on the phone lines, and we got Corey and Trustful up next. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing great, buddy.
Well, this game did not surprise me at all one bit. This was the one game that made me nervous all year because Alabama has not done well against Brent Venables for most of the time we faced them. I know we beat Clemson in 15 for the championship and in the playoff game. And then, but most of the time, Brent Venables has owned Alabama. I mean, the 2018 team, Alabama had an elite offense. Brent Venables shut that down. Alabama had a really good offense. 2016, he shut that down. And then last year and this year, Alabama had an average offense, and he shut that down. It's been a problem against Brent Venables that Alabama cannot seem to figure out. And it's just, I never felt good about this matchup. And then when you watch the game, everything that could go wrong that Alabama did not need to happen did. Anytime you play a good team, whether you're a good team or average team, the equalizer is turnovers. And Alabama have been so good at not turning the ball over, and they turned over three times. And all three of them were in unique ways. I mean, you had a blitzing linebacker that forced Tyson to get rid of the ball before he wanted to, which caused him a pick six. He had a fumble on a punt return, which Ryan Williams was on the way. It was back there. And then five games in a row, you've had Ty Simpson get back fumbled, which I don't know what's going on with that. I mean, that's just not good. I mean, it's a problem he's had, and I don't know what you do to get it fixed, but it's a problem. But like I said, I tried to convince myself before the game maybe Alabama being at home, but it just never felt right with me that Alabama was going to win this game because Oklahoma has the best defense in the SEC. I've watched them all year, and Alabama's offense going against their defense when you're a one-dimensional team, and you're having to ask Ty Simpson to win just about every game, and you have no running game, it just sets up for failure against Oklahoma. And even on the last drive, you're asking Alabama to win the game against a Brent Venables defense that's had success against you all day. Yeah, I just never felt good about it. And they paid for it. I mean, it did not surprise me one big area. It just did.
Well, Corey, I hate that you were right then. I hate that you had that premonition and it came to fruition. But hopefully, like I said, there's two games left. And Jared in Dallas, I thought, had a great analogy. If you said before the season, with two games left, you'd have to beat Eastern Illinois and a team at Auburn that's got one SEC win, would you take it? And a lot of people probably would. So now that you just got to go finish the drill. And if they don't, and if they lose that Iron Bowl, it is going to be it's going to be a very interesting time. So, but yeah, but you had good analysis, Corey. But nothing they can do about Oklahoma now, but learn from it. It's over. It's in the record books. It's not going to change. It's a 23-21 loss, and got to get ready to play Senior Day against Eastern Illinois, and then travel to Jordan-Hare. Hey, thank you, buddy. Great phone call.
Hey, Gary, can I ask you one more thing?
Yeah.
Is it true that if Alabama and A&M win out, that Alabama goes to Atlanta, or does more things have to happen?
Listen, all I know is that Chuck Dunlap, the communications specialist for the Southeastern Conference, put out an email on Saturday night that said that the SEC championship game matchup would not be decided until all the games a week from Saturday have been played, until all the conference games are up. So I don't want to say that I don't know. I think there's still some possibilities depending on what happens. I'll say this, if Alabama beats Auburn, I think there's a very good chance they will play in the SEC championship game, but I don't think it's guaranteed. So we'll have to see. Hey, thank you, Corey. Let's get to Michael down in Montgomery in the state capitol. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Gary?
Doing well.
Hey, not that that matters, but I need some clarification, please, if you could help me with this. Did Jeremy Bernard catch? Well, not catch. That they rolled a not catch on the sideline. He clearly come up with the ball. He secured it. The ground caused the fumble, but his elbow hit before the ball hit the ground and come loose. Shouldn't he have been down by contact?
You know, I don't know why that play was not reviewed, right? Am I correct?
No, wasn't reviewed.
Yeah,
he's down.
You know, I don't know. I was in the press box. I saw it in real time, and then I tried to see the replay. I'm with you. I think that I hate to talk about rules because every time I think I know a rule, I'm wrong. I don't know why that play wasn't reviewed. I don't know why it wasn't looked at more closely, because I'm with you. I thought that in real time it looked like it might have been a catch, but they just went on with it. And you know, in Alabama, didn't call a timeout to try to get them to review it. Maybe they couldn't. I don't know. But, yeah, I can't answer your question because I'd have to look at it again in slow motion. But I thought that there was enough there that you would have thought that they would have said, hey, we're going to take a look. You know, Birmingham would have said, hey, we're going to take a look at that. But they didn't, so.
Right. Well,
I can't really give you any clarification, Jeff. Michael, I'm sorry.
Yeah, even so, with the ground being able to cause a fumble out of bounds, which don't make no sense because it can't cause a fumble inbound. But with his elbow hitting before the ball, then anything that happens after that is a dead play, I would think.
Well, that's what I would think too. To me, if you again, and I'd have to look at it again right now, just trying to go off memory. If you catch the ball and your elbow line lands inbound, and then the ball comes out after you, the ball hits out of bounds. Then to me, it should be a catch. But if that's the case, then it's just another call that the officials missed. You know, like I said earlier, it's a hard job, and these kids are going full speed, but it could have been a missed call.
That's where replay should step in on a game like that, but it is what it is. Okay, well, thank you.
You bet you, my friend. All right, Real, we're going to close out the segment with Jeff
Jeff, we got to go pretty fast. What's going on, man?
I know. I'll say the seven, whether it's really 14 of them, but the seven dirty words in sports are their previous play is under further review. And that's just seven dirty words in sports. If I ruled sports, we'd have no replay. It'd be out. I'm sick of it. I get so tired. It takes so long. They fool around looking at the camera. You know, and the other one is we need to go to the monitor. At least now they've got challenges, one for 40 minutes, which is ridiculous. I have about three of them. It's so dumb. They get one for the whole time, and if they miss it, they lose their challenge. They don't get challenged nothing death. That's what happened to Pope and his movie, lost his. And it's like volleyball. Once you lose your, if you win the challenge, you keep it. If you lose it, you lose. And then you lose a timeout, too, in basketball this year. They take a timeout away from you, so you don't get a timeout. So that's kind of, you know, that's what they should do with football. If you lose the challenge, take a timeout from you. That's what they should do. It'd stop all this. We got to look at that, study and worry and wonder. It would stop all that mess. But they would have rules like that. If you miss it, you lose a timeout or do something, penalty or something, 10-yard penalty or some business. It'd stop all this of reviewing every blasted play. If somebody's out of bounds or inbounds or whatever. And big game, give me a break. There's enough of them around the country. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, it's still a big game. I mean, y'all turned it over six times against Oklahoma in two games. What do you expect?
Great point, Jeff. Got to hit the break, man. Well said. All right, it is 10:29. We're going to come back with Casey Smith on golf. And, of course, we'll talk to Casey Smith on football, too, as he was in Tuscaloosa this weekend for the game. So we've got that coming up. We'll be right back with more of the Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM at 1230 AM WTVC, your home for Alabama sports.
Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Back into the Gary Harris Show. Woo, what a show this morning. It has been going nonstop. We appreciate all the phone calls, and boy, it has been moving, and we're going to keep it going with Casey Smith on golf. Casey was in Tuscaloosa over the weekend for the game, so we'll get his thoughts on that, but we'll start with the big news as far as golf is concerned here, and that is the announcement by Justin Thomas that he underwent back surgery and is going to be in a resting phase and then in a rehab phase. He does not have a timetable for his return, rightfully so. He wants to make sure that he's 100%. I have no doubt in my mind, based on what I read in his statement, that he is shooting to be back by the Masters, but that's just my speculation. Casey, just first of all, good morning, by the way. I'm sorry. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Thanks, Gary. Yes, I would agree with you, my notes and what I've sort of looked into. I think we're on the same page there. I think players is like the rehab is going really well, and he's not going to play until he's ready, and I don't blame him. Even if that's, I think everyone's seen that go wrong for certain people, especially people that, you know, ultimately are his mentor. I would say that the players could be the earliest. The Masters is probably like worst case scenario. I mean, I hate to say worst case scenario, but that's probably the targeted date with a, you know, if you can get out by the players, you do.
Did you, Casey, with all your discussions that you have with tour players and coaches and caddies, and of course, we know he has a high torque swing. Was there any inclination or any, you know, rumors or chatter that he
was having any issues with his lower back?
I think there was one time he sort of came out and said he may have had a hip, you know. But, I mean, you know, he doesn't – not like he's a huge dude. And he's – they have a – you know, they work out really hard and they play golf really hard and they do a lot of training. He's got the best care in the world. And I'm sure it was – you know, I got a little twinge in my hip and then they get to the end of the season and he goes and gets an MRI and it's just one day to day in golf. He had a shot that caused you to hit something. So sounds like it was addressed really quickly. And he's looking at it from a longevity perspective. Like, I can get this done and it's modern medicine and do this right and not be in this race to get back, because he is still so much younger that there's a lot of years ahead for him.
Right.
And you know, looks obviously a limber guy. So I don't. Yeah, I think it's just one of those things. Freak stuff that can happen to anybody, you know?
Well, he timed it out well in terms of the surgery. Going into the holiday season, he wasn't going to be playing much golf. He will miss the Skins game that is returning, that he was in the Hero World Challenge. But yeah, hopefully, and I'm with you. I would love to see him make it back in time for the players, since he's won there before. But as long as he's back for the major season, I think everybody – and he could be invigorated and 100% healthy and potentially have a big year. Let's get to the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. Wow, just some crazy weather. The wind was unbelievable. Frankie Capan had a short stint at the University of Alabama. He was in position to win this tournament and had a bogey on the par 3, 16th, and then had the bogey on the par 5, 17th, did him in. But he wound up finishing tied for third. But this was a tournament where the elements played a factor, but it made for some exciting golf.
Oh, man. You know, these guys get half the field out there wearing hats. It's sort of what I hit on last week, why I didn't think Nick Dunlap would show up or would be in the field. If you're working on confidence and your driver being that play. And I watched some of it late last night and had recorded. And Adam Schenck, he was hitting shots that were like 10 yards off the ground. He hit three different shots. It was like he was over in Scotland. You know, they were saying it's blowing. It was 40 miles per hour, but there were gusts that were much, you know, greater than that. I knew when I saw half of the field not wearing hats that it was really bad, because they get paid to wear those hats. But Adam Schenck entered the week at 134th on the FedEx list, needing to crack the top 100 to keep his card. First win in 243 starts. He got rounds of 69, 65, 67, 71. Now he's got his card for 2 years. And, yeah, I mean, it's a huge win for a guy who's been a journeyman. And the cool part about it, if you watch, he putts when it was not windy. He's gone to a one-hand putting stroke. And he had to putt multiple times with two hands just due to the wind yesterday. And so I watched him on a whole like back off. Three times he had to back off. It was so windy. It was like, then he whipped the second hand. Pretty wild stuff. Only guy on tour putting with one hand. And just said it helped him not pull putts. And, you know, he stayed with it. And here he is going into the last week, having a chance. I think he's playing this week in Sea Island and, you know, chasing his dream. First 8 years on tour, first win.
Yeah, we've seen this a lot, and usually it is in kind of these events where it's not star-studded. But, man, you know what? Like you said, 8 years, 243 events, battling, struggling, and then his life changes in an instant because he was able to handle the conditions. And now all of a sudden, because, again, you pointed this out, Casey, for some of these guys, even with the sponsor money and so forth, at some point, 8, 9, 10, 11 years on tour, if you don't get a win, a lot of these guys go on to other things. They go into club jobs or they go on to the different things in life. And it gets to the point where, you know, it just you can't stay on tour forever. And this guy now, it's great when this happens. I mean, all of a sudden now he's a PGA Tour winner and it's just a whole different world for Adam Schenck.
Yeah, this guy, this is what I thought was awesome. I mean, not only the one-hand putting stuff and how fascinating that is to, like, come up to have to win in the wind and you can't use your
hand. Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
Right, and then he hit a 5-iron from 131 yards coming down the stretch. That's how windy it was, a 5-iron, and he came up short. He hit a 4-iron on another hole that, like, hit it on the front, and it was 150 yards. I mean, you know how long these guys hit these clubs. It was wild watching. He knew he had a lead coming down, right, and it was windy, wind was into him, water's on the left, and he hits this 10-yard-high punched 4-iron just to advance the ball on another hole. It was one of the most creative things I've seen. I guess the other guys are still trying to play, you know, their way, and he was playing with some younger guys around the lead, and he's a little bit older guy and a vet, and was just trying to win and, you know, sort of grinded and gutted it out, you know, for the win. So good on him.
I mentioned, whether it's Kappen or Kappen, the young man who was here at the Alabama, with the Alabama Golf, not for a long time, but, you know, that's how thin the margin for error is on PGA Tour. I mean, he goes in, if he pars 16 and 17, or even after he bogeyed 16, if he was able to birdie 17, he's in a playoff. But, you know, two bogeys late cost him a chance to win. He's still a young guy, but he had an opportunity. I know when you get that close out there on tour, that always stings when you give it up late.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it definitely does. And, you know, sort of transitions into some of these guys that we have this week that really, really, really need to get a win. I mean, we're at the final week, the RSM Classics this week. This is it to really secure your card. And most of our guys are all, you know, the top end of them are really safe. And then some of them that we cover have exemptions. You know, obviously JT and Sepp and Bud Cauley and Davis are all safe. And Lehigh just won last year and he's safe. And Nick Dunlap won last year and he's safe. And Pat Gazar won last year and he's safe. But if Trey Mullinax is at 158, he's in the field this week. He needs a win. Obviously, it would help if any of these other guys ever, you know, could get a win as well that would be playing. So hopefully, you know, Gordon Sargeant or Robbie Shelton, Trey, they really have a good week. And it'd be interesting to see if Nick Dunlap is going to play. It looks like right now you have Frankie Zappin, Bud Cauley, Lee Hodges, Pat Gazar, Trey Mullinax, Davis Riley, Robbie Shelton, all in the field this week. So, Gordon,
let me ask you, why, everybody sets their schedule. Why wouldn't Dunlap play? I mean, he had success in his last event. This is a course that all these guys that grew up in the Southeast are familiar with, and it's the final event of the season. I mean, if he doesn't play, he doesn't play. But to me, it makes no sense that he wouldn't play in this event.
Well, I mean, he played there too at Alabama, you know, on the
That's what I'm
saying.
ACC
championship.
That's my point.
Yeah, I would have thought too. I mean, I looked, they don't have any crazy weather forecast. I played a bunch of rounds there, you know, good landing areas and stuff. I don't know if you felt like we got something wrapped up. I'm in a good spot. I want to take a break because it's been a pretty stressful season. And that's what he gets from winning those events. But he could have really, you know, helped his position if he continued to run. And I just feel like playing the momentum game, right? You do have some good momentum. Let's go to a place we're familiar. Let's go, you know, score. You know, you can go score. They score down there a lot. That guy's a, you know, birdie machine still.
Yeah,
they'll let it eat a little bit. Yeah. We do have a big field, so hopefully some of those guys will play well. And then I don't know if you saw what's going on at the DP World Tour. It was a pretty cool finish yesterday. Rory McIlroy eagling his 72nd hole to send it to a playoff with Matt Fitzpatrick.
That's where I was going next. But, yeah, go ahead and give us the recap there. Exciting golf on that DP World Tour lately, buddy.
Matthew Fitzpatrick gets the win in the playoff. Rory bogeyed the playoff hole, which is crazy, after eagling the last hole. Fitzpatrick gets his 11th worldwide win, and he had struggled to start the year, had a good summer. The Ryder Cup, he went nuts. Of course, we get their best in the Ryder Cup after he's really struggled most of the year, and it propelled him on to a really big win. And, you know, that's a bit, especially when you're beating Rory, who you look up to. And but Rory, you know, pretty much probably cements himself on Player of the Year. That's the seventh GP race to Dubai World Championship for him for the year. And passes Seve, who is his idol, his dad's favorite golfer. He got really emotional about that. Seve and him were tied at six of those, you know, European Tour really money winners. And, you know, Rory won the Masters to close out the Grand Slam. He won the Players. He won at Pebble Beach. He won the Irish Open. That led him to a Ryder Cup win and then his seventh race to buy. I'd say he's the player of the year this year, and rightfully so.
Wow. It's hard to believe it's coming to an end. A lot of news. I want a good golf recap, but I do want to ask
there,
you about
– Well, there is one other thing. You got one quick thing. Is Laurie Cantor, after 20 starts and $5 million in earnings on LIV, set out this year, used his DP World Tour starts. He earned full PGA Tour status for next year.
Okay.
So that's a question you've been asking. We got one going back.
Yeah, I did not know that. I had not seen that. But we had predicted that. So it's starting to happen. So good for him. I'm telling you what, if I were on that tour, I'd want to get back on the PGA Tour. I'm just telling you. So good news there. All right, football, you were here. Listen, you need to just stay in Atlanta. You come into town, Alabama loses for the first time in 17 home games, first time ever for DeBoer. But we've already recapped it here. Really frustrating game, as most losses are. But Alabama, you know, they win the football game if they play clean, but they didn't. And Oklahoma deserves credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of plays. I mean, you won the stat line. You've already gone over it ad nauseum. You know, at least you still control your destiny. I was in for basketball, minus 24 in rebounds, tied 80-80, still had a chance to win. Purdue's got to think. Purdue's coach said they played a great game, and he recognized that Alabama didn't play a great game, and it was still close. Got to make you feel really good about where Alabama basketball is, and that was a home loss. Alabama football, you know, just got to play cleaner. I mean, dominated Oklahoma. And, you know, the stat line, if you just looked at it, it's just sickening a little bit. But now we got to go down and win a big game at Jordan-Hare. And I tell you, at least the biggest thing is I think they should all be grateful and happy and energized as we control our destiny. And, you know, if you look at the predictions, if we win that game, we could host a playoff game and get on the opposite side of the bracket of some of the people we want to dodge anyway. So, you know, there will be a lot of crazy things happen between now and then at the end of the year, but I didn't dislike that path of hosting Georgia Tech in the playoff game, you know, if we were to win the Iron Bowl. So big couple of weeks ahead. Hopefully they can figure out a way to run the ball a little more efficiently.
All right, Casey, well, it was good to see you for a couple
Thanks,
of minutes over the course
yes,
of the
sir.
Weekend. Look forward to next week. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, Casey Fiddler Goff. Hey, before we hit the break, I want to tell you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. Game Day's Men's Health offers convenient, expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. You know, if you're suffering from fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, those aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. And at Game Day Tuscaloosa, they can get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. I know. I've been there. I've gone through the process. Their personalized treatment starts with their signature three-step plan, complete intake and simple blood work, get results in 15 minutes, meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health, and begin your customized treatment plan. You don't have to feel tired. You don't have to feel run down. You don't have to feel like you don't have the energy and the kick and the desire when you need it. Game Day Men's Health can get you back in the game. Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. All right, we're going to come out with a final segment. Once again, we did not have time to get to Kalen DeBoer. That's the way it goes. AC is on the phone line. If he's still with us, we'll get to him as we close out the show.
Trolley Candy. It's a flavor collision you've got to try. But hurry, it's only here for a limited time. Mountain Dew Trolley. Do the dew, do the worm.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa CDJR.
Call 800-8000 or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services.
legal services performed by other lawyers.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and
The Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today, the high 71. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. Very mild tomorrow and Wednesday. Good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 76 and 79 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Something without wanting love. Bears heavy on my mind.
Great song. Man. Gives you a good vibe. 10:53. All right, we're going to close it out with, if he's still on the phone line, AC. AC, good morning.
Hey, thanks. Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. How's everything with you?
Do what now?
I said, how is everything with you?
Everything's well, my friend. It's beautiful, beautiful day. Enjoying the great weather.
Full day, right?
And all is well. How's everything in Bangladesh?
Blessed to be alive. Didn't I tell you Thursday, Crimson Crybabies, they're going to go down? That wasn't a prediction, sir. That was a spoiler I gave you. Today, I cannot wait to hear on Mr. Fowler's show all the crybabies, and I'll be celebrating. And you're
well, maybe they will. People haven't cried too much on my show. They've accepted the reality of the situation and have been looking forward to the opportunity to win these next two games. But maybe it'll be different on Ryan's show. I don't know, but I haven't heard a lot of crying this morning. Have you?
Well, you know, they're just busy for the main event. So, main event, you got to cry all you want to, and I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to party like no tomorrow because your third loss is going to come in the SEC championship game when Texas A&M puts you out of your misery. And then a third team, three lost teams, why should a three lost teams deserve to be in the playoffs?
Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, AC. Because if you get to 10-2 and you beat Auburn in the Iron Bowl, you should not be penalized for playing in a conference championship game. Period.
Well,
and if that were to happen, then they just have to do away with the conference championship game.
Well, check.
You should not be penalized for playing in a conference championship game.
Here's the thing, Mr. Harris. You know, if they get into the playoffs, you're not winning the national championship. It'll be a knockout blow. Trust me.
Well, that might be the case. But if they win these next two games, Alabama's going to be in the playoff. AC, I hate to break the news to you, but if they win the next two, they're going to be in the playoffs.
You get into the playoffs, you'll be knocked out, and guess what? I'll remind you, Kalen DeBoer is a total failure, and I'm going to celebrate like no tomorrow. At the end of the day, sir, I'm the guy who's having the last laugh. It looks like I'm more undefeated than Kalen Little DeBoering. Thank you.
All right, AC, we appreciate the input. And the insight. I didn't learn much there in that minute and a half. All right, time's up here on the Gary Harris Show. Before I get out of here, though, I do want to remind you that the YMCA is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. I'm going to have Jeff Knox, the CEO, on in the morning to talk about all the great things that they've got coming up for the holiday season at your YMCA, 2300 13th Street downtown. And love the Y. And lately it's been tough for me to get in. I've had a crazy schedule, but I'm going to be back in there soon. And I guarantee, as I've said before, now's the time to get to the Y. Don't wait till January. Get a jump start. Work out during the holidays. You'll feel better about it. Also, lunch is right around the corner. I encourage you to try out my new friends at Rock and Roll Sushi, downtown Tuscaloosa, right there on University Boulevard. They've got a lot of neat lunch specials. I went in there for lunch last week. Got me one of those bowls with the chicken and the rice and the veggies. Oh, so good. Rock and Roll Sushi. Try it for lunch. All right, I want to thank Chase Brumfeld for his great work. I want to thank our guests, Rodney Orr and Casey Smith. We did not get to Kalen DeBoer's press conference, but that's because we were so busy this morning. He does talk again today to the media at 12. The coordinators will talk at 11:30, and it'll be an interesting press conference coming off that first ever loss for Kalen DeBoer. at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. All right, be back tomorrow with you at 9 o'clock. A reminder to catch me on TV tonight with your local sports on WVUA 23. We now come to you with a 9 o'clock news. 9 o'clock news. We repeat it at 10. So if you're in the habit of watching at 10, you can watch it the repeat. But we're live at 9. Also tonight, 7 o'clock, Inside the Trenches, the podcast with Wallace Gilberry and Andre Smith, two former Bama and NFL greats, plus Rodney Orr and me. That's coming up tonight on Tide 100.9 FM and anywhere you get your podcast, including the Inside the Trenches YouTube channel at 7 p.m. So for Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. Thanks for listening, everybody. And the Miller's Edge is coming up next. I'm sure Christian Miller will break down the game with all of his insight as a former Alabama and NFL player. So we'll look forward to that. Then it's the Deep South College Football Show at 1 with Wyatt Fulton, and then Ryan Fowler will take you home with the game from 2 until 6. Have a great day, everybody.